Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Food trucks got their start on the streets of L.A. selling tacos and other Mexican specialties. In New York City, the first ones to make foodie headlines were the ones selling Central and South American specialties to Latinos watching and playing soccer on the playing fields in Red Hook. Now, food trucks are everywhere, including a Carrilla BBQ food truck that regularly parks across WNYC studios on Varick Street, drawing long lines.
Food trucks are just sort of a fun thing, and they're sort of taking over, so why not?
It's the best Korean barbecue in town.
Because I've been coming here for like months now, and I love it. It's delicious.
This one, it used to be down on Hudson, and it comes on a Tuesday, and we sort of look forward to it every Tuesday. So we've literally followed it down the block. That good.
What began as a cheap way for ethnic and minority entrepreneurs to peddle their wares has become a hip trend with apps to follow your favorite vendor. Here to talk about the explosion of the food truck business is David Weber, president of the New York City Food Truck Association. Yes, they have their own association. Hi.
Hi. It's Welcome. A pleasure to be here. Thanks
Good.
So much for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming in. Listeners, what is your favorite food truck? Do you follow it on Twitter and rush out when you find it's in your hood? And why? What does it do that's so special? Vendors, why do you decide to go the truck route? Tell us about the challenges you face operating a food truck in New York City. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. So, David, there's obviously a tremendous draw in setting up a food truck business over opening a restaurant. You don't have to pay rent. You can operate with a small number of staff. It's pretty cheap. You buy a food truck for, you know, I was seeing online, $20,000, you know, $30,000. You get your permits, $50 here, $75 there. I mean, my tennis permit is $200, so it's a lot cheaper to get a health department permit from what I can see. So was this attractive to you? You do rickshaw, right?
Yeah,
the rickshaw
yeah.
food
so,
truck.
So I operate, I own and operate a food truck, but I also represent these 37 vendors that are members of our association. Food trucks have a lot of advantages from a financial perspective in terms of setting up the business. So one of the things I always tell people is food trucks make a great incubator. It's a great way, if you're passionate about food, to get into the culinary industry. Opening a restaurant in Manhattan can cost you $1 million, but all in, you can get started with a food truck for about $100,000. So that's very, very attractive for a lot of people.
A Wall Street Journal article quoted San Francisco restaurateur Laurent, I'm probably butchering his name, Katgeli, is saying his food truck made a 50% profit versus a 10% profit for his restaurant.
Wow. That
Does
seems,
that sound
That seems extremely ballpark? Compelling. I mean, I think that could be possible. It seems really hard to do. I think that there's a slight advantage in profitability to food trucks over restaurants. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that are quite expensive pertaining to food trucks. One of the things is you have to keep your food truck in a DOH-approved commissary. There's a lot of
Department of Health.
Yeah, the Department of Health-approved commissary. There's lots of costs concerning, you know, the fuel costs, insurance, and food trucks never have quite the revenue that a store would have.
And yet they don't have the taxes and the rent.
They do not have the rent, but they do pay taxes. So one of the things that all of the members in our association do is we've all committed to a set of guidelines that include paying sales tax, payroll tax, and we do pay, you know, a little bit of real estate tax through the rent we're paying at the commissaries. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a slight advantage there. But it's what it's really paid for is in the blood, sweat, and tear of the entrepreneur. One of the things that I always tell people is it's a great way to make a business if you want to be a peddler, if you want to be there day to day on the street meeting the guests and running the business that you're passionate about. It's a great business to be in, but it's not really scalable. And that's why I think that food trucks make a great incubator. It's a great way to try something out and then grow into a brick-and-mortar restaurant.
And that is happening, right? I know Van Leeuwen,
yeah.
the ice cream maker, now has 4 brick-and-mortar stores?
Absolutely. Almost half of the members of our association have brick-and-mortar restaurants.
But they didn't start off that way.
Yeah. Well, it's a mixed bag. Some people started with restaurants like Rickshaw and then got into food trucks. And some people started with food trucks and then got into restaurants like Van Leeuwen. Mexico just opened a restaurant earlier this week. Last night, actually, they opened their brick-and-mortar restaurant, so congratulations to them. And Kimchi Taco Truck is working on opening a restaurant, as is the Treats Truck.
So, and this comes from my colleague, WNYC's Fred Mogul. Why is food truck food as expensive as a brick-and-mortar store?
You know,
oftentimes, I mean, for stuff like Rickshaw, right? I think you can still go get a plate of pupusas and rice for $6 in Red Hook. But if I want to get lobster from the lobster truck, that's a $13 lobster roll offered on that lobster truck on Hudson Street that I see parked out there from time to time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that
that's not street food,
especially in the I mean, it's expensive for street food, but I think that there's still a slight price advantage when it comes to the lobster truck in terms of, you know, a lot of restaurants would have a lobster roll for $25, $35. So, you know, that in that particular case, you might be saying a cost advantage. But, you know, I think that, to my earlier point, the cost structure isn't that much different. And it's also extremely perilous from day to day. Vending on the street has become quite challenging with some of the recent legal challenges that have come into place. The rules have changed and shifted a little bit, and there's also a lot of seasonality involved. So, you know, unlike a brick-and-mortar restaurant where you can run day in, day out, the food trucks are subject to the vagaries of parking in New York City. They're subject to whether it rains or not. So, you know, it's very easy to spend a lot of money one day, get out on the street, and then possibly be moved by the NYPD or to have a rainstorm come through and lose a lot of product. So, you know, it's just a slightly different business model.
I wanted to get to some calls. Adrian from Astoria, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning. I see food trucks all the time, but I won't buy from them because I am afraid, I'm concerned about sanitation, particularly when it comes to meats. How can you keep them fresh? I mean, in a restaurant, you have a freezer. And, I mean, I suppose they have a little freezer on a food truck, but still.
Thanks, Adrian, for your call. You wanted to
Absolutely. We're subject to many of the same Department of Health regulations that restaurants are. So food trucks have generators, and they have freezers, and we have temperature. We check the temperatures constantly on board. We have thermometers. And the DOH inspects food trucks in the same way they check restaurants.
They have to find you, though. And I understand from the health department, they said to me they use social media sites.
Absolutely.
As your customers do to try and find where you are to do inspections. Carol from Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Carol.
Yeah, hi. The only way that I can get my young teenagers to go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art is to bribe them with a shake from the Shake and Cupcake food cart in front of the Metropolitan Museum.
Thanks, Carol, for that. Dave from Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'd like to do two things. One is, when did the food truck craze really start? There's a guy in Ithaca, New York, who invented French bread pizza in a food truck in 1960. Was that really at the beginning of the food truck era?
And is that your shout out for the king of all food trucks to that? Okay, great. Thanks, Dave. Hard to know. I don't know. But certainly the trend for food trucks here in New York, can you place when that
absolutely
began?
Absolutely. I think the inflection point sort of happened in 2007. And that's when the Treats truck came onto the street, Waffles and Dingues. And that's the beginning of when you started to see entrepreneurs really focused on branded trucks that were focused on a specific product they were very passionate about, and that resonating with customers and somehow capturing their imagination. So since 2007, there's been a rapid rise in the number of trucks, and I would estimate there's about 50 on the street right now.
Declan from Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? To say that the Red Hook Lobster Pound Truck has to be my favorite. It's, and there was a sort of conversation about the price. When you eat from the pound, it's what it's like. It reminds me, my daughter used to go to camp up in Maine, and the lobster, like, it just doesn't taste like anywhere else. And what they do is they bring you, like, a trip to Maine in New York. So, like, when I eat out the side of that truck and they hand it over, it doesn't just taste like the best lobster in the city, but it plugs you back into a location that, you know, it's amazing that you can be on the sidewalk and you can have this roll handed out, and the taste is as if it just came off the dock in Maine.
Wow, it's like Proust's Madeleine for you, Declan. Thank you for that call. Before we wrap up, very briefly, parking issues. How, I know that there was a recent decision by a judge that you cannot vend from metered parking. So where do food trucks go? How does that get negotiated?
Yeah. So,
and do you get into fights with hot dog vendors if you pull up to a particular curb and there's a hot dog vendor on that curb and you pull up your food truck and directly compete? What's the ethos there?
Yeah,
what drives that?
I think that on the street, there's a lot of respect between vendors, and we always try and advocate within our organization responsible, community-oriented vending, and that means really getting to know all the people where you're vending really well. This regulation, the no vending of merchandise from metered parking, is a big problem for us in the industry right now because it's really limiting where we can vend, and you know, it's putting a lot of pressure on these entrepreneurs to make ends meet. And, you know, some entrepreneurs are having to lay off staff and are thinking about possibly moving to other markets. So,
but you definitely, you drive around the neighborhood and look for a curb where you can park legally.
You know, people don't understand the amount of time and effort that it takes into figuring out where to park. So people plan ahead, scout the streets. I always see Thomas of Waffles on his bike looking for places to park. And so it takes a lot of planning to find those spaces in advance.
David Weber, president of the New York City Food Truck Association, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Friday. And thank you for your calls and for your shout-outs to your favorite food carts. The conversation continues online at WNYC.org. Thanks to Paige Cowan, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and the great staff of the WNYC Brian Lehrer Show team. Brian returns on Monday. This is WNYC AM and FM New York, WNYC.org. I'm Amy Eddings. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.